Everyone, how you doing? All right, couple real quick other details. The leadership team, the structure Q&A afterwards today. In that process, we also have provided the opportunity for anyone who would like to submit a name for consideration for the potential leadership team under a revamped structure to be able to do so. So this sheet right here is one of the ways that you can do that. It's on the table in the foyer. And we ask that you have these into us today. So if you have somebody, now, what we have asked is that you make sure to request a copy of the leadership team position description and all of that. So these are available. You can also email the church office. The other thing is that for those of you who would like a little bit more information in the way of calendar and stuff like that, we provide this. This is on the table in the foyer. So if you want that information, it's out there for you as well. So, how many of us today are here today that have ever encountered a problem because of someone else's words? Words that they chose to use around you, or maybe words they chose to use about you, or maybe words they chose to use to you. All right, how many of you have ever encountered a problem because of your words? My guess is that the great majority of us that were honest all have experienced a time where we have opened our mouth and inserted our foot. And the result has been a problem that we wish we could have avoided, but now we have to find a way to solve it. And when we run into these types of problems, there's something interesting that happens that reveals more of what's really going on. Sometimes these word problems that we experience escalate a little bit, even to the point of maybe becoming what we would categorize as a conflict with someone else. And have you ever noticed how when you're in one of these, we will just label them intense conversations, okay? We won't label them debates or discussions or disagreements or fights or anything else. We'll just call them intense conversations that escalate to the point of conflict. Have you ever noticed how when you're in the midst of this, something happens to your hands? What happens to your hands in those conversations? Do you ever notice that they close up? Do you know why they close up? Because our minds and our hearts are closing up in the conversation. And eventually, and usually it doesn't take very long, but eventually our ears follow suit. And all of a sudden, we don't hear. And here's one of the things about hearing in these types of conversations. Have you ever noticed that we don't hear until we think someone else has heard us? And the other person doesn't hear until they think we've heard them? In these types of conversations, why this happens is because we both in the conversation really want the same thing. And you may be sitting there this morning thinking, well, yeah, we want the same thing. We both want the other person to know that we're right. That's what we want. We want our way. And that's why the conversation has escalated and even turned into conflict, because we want the other person to know, I'm right, you're wrong. And there's some element of truth to that in those conversations. But more than that, what we want is we want to be heard and understood. What we really want is to be heard and understood. That should be on the screen for us. There we go. What we really want is to be heard and understood. More than we want the person to agree with us, we want to know that they listened to us. And more than we want them to say, yes, you're right, we want them to say, I heard you and I understood. Whether I agree or not is a whole different conversation. But we want to be, and when we feel like we're not, we start closing up. And this is an indication that your hearts and your minds and your ears are closing up. And we wind up in a problem caused by words that we didn't avoid, but now we have to figure out how to solve. Fortunately, we have a little bit of a solution in a letter written by a guy by the name of James to early followers of Jesus. And James is an interesting guy. James is the brother of Jesus, who did not believe Jesus claimed to be the Son of God until after the resurrection. Before the resurrection, James thought his brother was a nut job. He thought his brother had a screw loose. He thought something was wrong with his brother. And so one day, James presumably stands next to his mother, Mary, and watches Jesus crucified on a cross by the Roman government. Watches his loony brother killed at the hands of the Roman government. And then, just a short time later, just a few days later, James has the opportunity to sit down around a table and have a meal with his brother because of the resurrection. And James said, maybe he was onto something. I don't know if that's what he actually said, but that's what I imagine he said. And so James enters the story of the way of Jesus after the resurrection. He becomes a follower of Jesus, and he becomes the primary leader in the early church in Jerusalem. He went from, my brother's a nut job, to I believe my brother is now the Son of God, sent to redeem sin and to restore right relationship with God. And he went all in. He eventually is put to death because of his belief in the resurrection and in Jesus being the Son of God. In the meantime, he wrote a letter to the early church. And in this letter, he provides them, and maybe even people like us, a solution to word problems. And here's what he says. He says, understand this. Okay, so the word that's used for understand there means to sit up straight, pay attention, take notice, and move to the front. Okay, I added the move to the front part, but sit up straight. So James starts out this part of what he writes to the church and saying, hey, this is important. Sit up straight. Pay attention. Take notice of what I'm going to say. Understand this because this will make a difference in your life. And then he says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. This is an unusual greeting in the first century because James included women in his greeting. In the first century, in pretty much every culture and in every environment, women had virtually no rights. They were not allowed to testify in a court as a credible witness. Fathers picked who their daughters would marry, which I don't think is necessarily a bad idea. But they picked who their daughters would marry based on how it benefited them financially or politically or in some other type of status. Women in this century and in this culture were basically considered a form of property. And they had very little inherent value They were materialistic value at best. And so for James to say, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, was a revolutionary type of greeting. James had been impacted by Jesus. And Jesus, his pattern was to elevate the status of women. That they had value because they were created in the image of God. And they had value and worth as a human being, not as a material possession. And so James includes them in what he wants the people he's writing to understand. And this was radical in his day. So he says, men, women, take note, understand, sit up, pay attention. And then he goes and tells them what they need to know. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Now, James puts these two words, quick and listen, together to make a point that's very, very important. The way that he phrases this is such that listening is to be our first priority. Before you do anything else, listen. Take note, pay attention, sit up straight, listen. Listen quickly. How do you listen quickly? That doesn't seem to make any sense. You listen first. You pay attention first. And this is not a counterintuitive thing. We all know this at some level. This is not a counterintuitive thing. This is a counterpractice thing. We all know. We just don't all do. Our tendency is to be quick to speak and slow to listen. Our tendency is to speak first and listen maybe. And sometimes that's exactly why we wind up with word problems that we have to solve because we didn't avoid. So James says, you must be quick to listen first and foremost. And then he goes on, and slow to speak. The word that's used there means literally to wait. When it comes to your words, stop. Before you say anything, stop. How much better would some of our conversations be if before we said anything, we just stopped? Right? When we are quick to listen and slow to speak, it gives us some time to do a couple of different things. It gives us some time to gather our thoughts and ourselves before we unload a barrage of words that we may come to regret. It also gives us an opportunity to seek and gain clarity about what the other person might be saying. Now, I know that seems like a radical concept to many of us. Sometimes in these conversations, we feel like we need to understand enough of what the other person means to formulate a response to what we think they said. What James is saying is we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And when we speak, we might even, this isn't James, this is just a benefit of being quick to listen and slow to speak. We may even have the opportunity to ask some questions about, to gain clarity about what the other person is saying. And when we're like this, when we're all closed up, sometimes being quick to listen and slow to speak just does this. And it opens us up to relationship more than being right. So, and you may be sitting there saying, okay, but if I'm slow to speak, and I ask questions of them to clarify what it is that they mean, this person is just going to keep talking and talking and talking. And I'm just going to have to keep listening and listening and listening. And I'm never going to have the opportunity to say what I want to say, which is so important that I already stopped listening to formulate my response and the words that I want to use. The advantage of being quick to listen and slow to speak makes the process more about them than about what you want. And that's radically different than what many of us tend to do. So James says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you all must be quick to listen and slow to speak. And when you do this, your relationships will get better. But there's something else that's going to be even easier for you than it may tend to be on a regular basis. You ready? And here he goes. And slow to get angry. Wouldn't this be refreshing in some of our conversations? Wouldn't this be refreshing in some of our relationships? When we are quick to listen and slow to speak, getting angry quickly becomes less likely. When you are able to slow down and push pause, you're able to recalibrate not just the situation, but the conversation and the words that we use. This getting angry thing is a decision and a result. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. We know that we are going to experience challenging circumstances in relationship with people. And we know that there are going to be people who push our buttons and just irritate us. And we know there are going to be circumstances through which we can get angry. And so sometimes we have to make a decision ahead of time to say, I'm not going to get angry about that. I'm not going to allow that person, I'm not going to have that person to allow me to get angry. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody ever had someone in their life that just irritated the crud out of you? How many of those people are the ones sitting right next? No, don't answer that one. And you tell yourself, when they do this, and God knows they're going to do it, I'm not going to get angry. And you made that decision ahead of time. And then they did it. And your decision went right out the window. Because you got angry, right? Anybody other than me? So it's a decision. You have to make the decision, but then it's also a result of taking time to slow down, to be quick to listen. Imagine yourself in this situation. You're in a conversation with one of those people, and you know where this conversation's headed. It's escalating. It's going to get to conflict. You feel your hands doing this, and you kind of, your ears have closed off, and you've got all the words formulated in your head, and you're ready to just unload all of those words. And in the moment, you don't care whether you're going to regret it or not, right? You're just ready to fire off all these words. And then all of a sudden, in the conversation, you become quick to listen and slow to speak. And you look at the person that you're in conflict with, and you say, you know, I'm not sure I see it your way, but I'd really like to. Can you explain more of what you're thinking? You'd have to pick that person up off the floor. No, we don't do that. No one does that. Because in those times, we are often more interested in being right than we are in the relationship. And sometimes, we can write ourselves right out of a relationship. We can write ourselves and the person that we care about and the person that we love right out the door. Just by the words we choose and use that cause problems that we didn't avoid that now we have to solve. So here's kind of the deal on this, a general rule of thumb. It's almost like James gives us a solving word problems formula. So remember the chalkboard, you used to have to go up at math and do the math formula on the board and then you'd erase it off and then somebody would have to do it. Or some of you had to stay in at recess and said, I will not touch the person in the desk next to me, and you had to write that 500 times, you know, and all that, and then at the end you erase it. So that's kind of the design behind the chalkboard thing up there, is going up and solving math problems and word problems and all that. So here's kind of the formula that James gives us about this. The more we listen, the more we learn, and the less angry we will become. Basically, James says, if and he kind of connects to something that Jesus had said, because Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we all want to be heard and understood. And James says, if you want other people to do that for you, then do that for other people. If you want to be heard, listen first. If you want to be understood, seek to understand. If you don't want people angry with you, then settle yourself down. The more we listen, the more we learn, and the less angry we'll become. And James says that's going to help solve a lot of the word problems that we experience. But then he goes another step, and he says that this whole dynamic that affects our relationships with one another also has an impact in the area of our relationship with God. He says, understand this, dear brothers and sisters. You all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And then he tells them, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger usually comes in one of a couple of forms. There are basically two types of people in the world. There are those who like Star Trek, and there are those who don't like Star Trek. That has nothing to do with anything on this. There are basically two kinds of people in the world. There are those who internalize their anger and become kind of passive-aggressive in the expression of their anger. Anybody ever known anyone like that? And the result of the passive-aggressive expressions of anger is usually damaged relationships and hurt and problems. And then there are those who are more prone to explosive expressions of anger, outbursts, and they just unload on somebody or a group. And the result of that is often hurt and damage and problems that we have to find ways to solve. served at a church in Fort Wayne as a teaching pastor, and one of the guys on the music team was one of these guys that was prone to these outbursts of anger. And I remember one time watching the aftermath of one of the band rehearsals where such a thing had occurred. And I watched every individual in the band. And I saw the hurt and the wounds in all of them as a result of this just explosion of anger that this guy had had. And he, after he exploded, he walked out, and they were all left standing there stunned. And then 2 minutes later, he came back in like nothing had ever happened, because he felt better. And in the process, he had wounded multiple other people because of the words and the expression of anger. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but anger is a good tool for identifying a problem. Anger is a good tool for saying something's not right here. But anger is a horrible tool for solving a problem. Anger, the word that's used there for produce, means to cultivate, to yield, or to result. And James says that human anger does not yield the kind of righteousness that God desires. It doesn't produce the end result that God wants in these conversations and in these relationships. And he says that there's a better way. There is, just so you guys know, that is a beautiful, beautiful sound. So don't give it a second thought. As a matter of fact, if you would, I would just take her. So bring her on up and I'll just take her. It's a beautiful sound, right? Yeah. So enough of that. Don't. So get your hand off her mouth. No, I'm kidding. So human anger does not produce the kind of righteousness that God desires. James says that there's a better way. Than open mouth, insert foot. There's a better way than just unloading a barrage of words that may make you feel better, but will result in damage and wounds to those all around you. Our priority has to be to listen first and choose our words wisely. And when we do, when we get those two things right, we are better able to control our emotions and to manage our relationships with those around us. Jesus, this is what Jesus did. Jesus came and did this in the relationships with those around him. And as a result, people were drawn to him. Now, he was up to so much more than just get along with each other. But one of the things that we pull from this is this idea that it doesn't matter who's right if the two of you aren't right. Being right isn't always the most important thing. You can be right and still be wrong. the kind of righteousness that God desires for our lives to produce is the very reason that Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be right. Jesus came to set things right. Jesus came to make things right. And because that's why Jesus came, we don't have to settle for being right. Oftentimes we want to be right at each other. Does that make sense? But what God wants is for us to be right with each other. We want to be right at each other. God wants us to be right with each other. And that's why Jesus came, to make things right and set things right and keep things right. When Jesus came, it would not have taken him 30 minutes to be right. He'd have come, he'd have gathered everybody around, he'd have made all of his points, said, "I'm right," and call it a day. But he didn't come to be right. He came to set things right, and he came to invite people into a relationship with him that would lead into right relationship with God. To lead people down the path that life would produce the kind of righteousness that God desires. And that is the same invitation that is extended to each and every one of us. Whatever your situation is, whether it's word problems or other problems or no problems, Jesus came to set things right and make things right, and he invites you today to follow him. We may not always be able to avoid the problems, but there is a solution to every problem, and that solution is found in following Jesus. Now, please don't misunderstand. Following Jesus does not erase all your problems. Sometimes following Jesus creates more problems. But following Jesus will ultimately lead to a solution to any and every problem that you have ever faced as the result of sin in your life. He came to redeem sin and restore right relationship with God. And that is the invitation that is extended to you today, to follow Jesus. Let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together, for each and every person that you have brought here today. And God, I pray that as we prepare to dismiss, that each and every person today has discovered some piece of a solution to the word problems that so many of us experience when we open our mouths and insert our foot. And that each of us would find a way to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, and live lives that produce the kind of righteousness that you desire. Not necessarily what you want from us, but what you want for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.